Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, we've got a review of Dark Tower, because it's, you know, better late than never. News on Justice League and The Breakfast Club, because it works. And Michael Bay losing his damn mind and doing... well, we'll save that surprise for later, but first, last week, you may have noticed, we weren't here. But before that, we had a show where we ran long, so we were kind of making up for it, I guess, averaging it out.
Yeah, there you go.
And I had put a trivia question in that show about the six major studios, and five of them are going with the online service, and what was the name of the sixth studio? I forgot to leave that out. And so I figured I should start off with that, because the answer is, of course, of paramount importance.
And,
yeah. It's just something that crossed my mind. I went, oh, I better answer it. And yes, it is. Paramount was the sixth one. So no Star Trek for you. This week, I do have a trivia question that goes along with the box office. Because if you've looked at what's going on in the box office this weekend, Jigsaw, as we expected, making a ton of money. Madea, Halloween 2, of course, making nowhere near as much, but still a respectable amount of money. Followed by the utterly pathetic, anemic amount of money being made by a movie called Geostorm. And that leads to this trivia question. Geostorm is making a very small amount of money, to the point where it could be the fifth movie this year to lose $100 million.
Nice.
Here's your question. What are the other four? I'll give you a hint. I've reviewed two of them on the show. One, I am actually looking forward to seeing, and the other, there's no way in hell you're going to get me to see it. See.
Nice.
Very simple stuff, apparently, ish.
And we'll find out.
Yeah, by the end of the show, I'll have something.
Geostorm, when the trailers first came out, let's talk about Geostorm a little bit.
Yeah.
The first trailer looked absolutely hideous. It was just a mashup of every big budget disaster flick that they've done in the past 20 years. And they just like, oh, let's throw this in because that looked cool. Oh, let's throw this in. That looked cool.
It's the greatest hits.
Yeah, and some random semi-A-list stars.
Gerard Butler,
there you go. You know, and it's like, okay, this looks awful. This looks terrible. I mean, I actually kind of like Gerard Butler. I really like Andy Garcia. I have no idea why he's not been in anything other than this piece of crap for the past, seems like, 10 years. And it got such awful notice, obviously, that, oh, let's do another trailer, which makes it look like a very different kind of movie. This one actually has people acting, which is nice. But still, it still looked really bad. And as it turned out, this thing has been in the can, as they say, since 2014. And they did heavy reshoots to try to salvage this piece of crap. And obviously, kind of makes me want to see the original director's cut, because... my God, what a piece of trash that thing has to be. Although, who knows? Maybe it's absolutely brilliant, and the studios didn't recognize that, because studios have a habit of doing that. And it's like, oh, no, let's turn it into this. So this is one of these horrible things I'm looking forward to watching eventually, when it won't cost me a nickel. Which, actually, come to think of it, I do have a way to see it without it costing me a nickel. Yeah, I just realized that. Anyway, we'll get back to that.
No, we do not advocate that type of behavior.
No. I'm not talking about streaming something from General Putin's locker, which really should be a streaming service, General Putin's locker. I'm talking about the Movie Pass thing, which is absolutely brilliant, which works well. So, because that's, to me, that's part of the benefit. You can go see some piece of crap you would never pay for. But since the cost is built into your subscription, now I can go see it. Of course, it will cost me 2 hours of my life, which that I'm not really willing to spend at this point. So anyway, no shock.
Okay. The second thing I wanted to bring up, because it ties together with Paramount even. See, there's a link. Star Trek Discovery, which I've been watching, and I am enjoying it. I really am. But there have been a lot of people who have been complaining about our main character, because her name is Michael. And that's the wrong gender for that name. Whiny, whiny, whiny. Well, here's what I got to say about that. You people are going to be pissed at NCIS then, because the new character that they're going to be introducing soon is Special Agent Jack Sloan, played by Maria Bello.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
Naughty, naughty.
So, you know, make of that what you will. I don't care what the characters' names are, as long as they actually make it into a character.
Yeah, exactly. Which, the funny thing is about the character of Michael,
yes,
the lead of Star Trek Discovery, is they make note of the fact that that's such an unusual name.
Repeatedly.
They bring that up in, what, the second episode?
The third one where she's introduced to her roommate.
Exactly.
She, you know, bunking with someone else. I've never heard of a girl named Michael before, except for that one that's, oh, crap, it's you.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. So this is, how is it, 400 years in the future, 350 years in the future?
Something like that. They
make a point of, yes, that's very unusual. Okay, so.
Over it, you must get, Padawan. Oh, wait, that's a long time ago.
It's just, people that are upset about this, you really have to wonder. Actually, I don't wonder. I know. So anyway, yeah, I don't care about those people.
It's not a. It's a good series. It's been renewed for a second season. Yay. Yeah. So if you get the opportunity to watch it, and I do recommend what I recommended a few weeks ago, getting the neighborhood together and doing Star Trek parties.
Right.
It's the opportunity for you to wear your Trek uniform outside and not feel like a complete geek. No, actually, it's not. That doesn't change. Moving on. There's a movie that we've brought it up a few times, but we haven't really done anything with it. That, you know, since we had the time, my wife had a surgery since our last show. And so she's been home, and we've been streaming the crap out of damn near everything. So, I had time to watch the movie The Dark Tower.
Woo!
Now, oh, incidentally, yes, my wife's doing fine. Thank you for thoughts and prayers, because, yeah, that's what we needed. Anyway, Dark Tower. Everyone has said that all the reviews I've seen have said, oh, it's a horrible Stephen King movie. It's just not good. It's a waste of everything. And they're forgetting one very important thing that actually I didn't even know going into it. Quick word association test. When I say the words Stephen King, what movie genre pops into your head?
Horror movie.
Yeah, guess what? This isn't a horror movie.
There you go.
And, you know, that's fine. That's not a bad thing, I don't think.
That's a good thing, because it's not a horror novel or a series of novels.
Right, and it's not a bad movie. Now, there are references all through it to other horror stuff, because Cujo makes a cameo in that, oh, look, there he goes across the street. One of the kids is playing with a car that looks like Christine. There's a reference to It, because they come across a ferris wheel. And that's called Pennywise in an abandoned amusement park. So there's horror aspects to it, but it's a sci-fi movie. It reminds me, in part, of the movie They Live, only without the sunglasses and bubblegum.
I was going to say, is it as good as They Live, though? That's what we're waiting to hear.
I'll be honest, I don't remember They Live that much.
Oh, you make me so sad.
Well, I remember that, you know, you put on the sunglasses and, ooh, he's actually the alien from that bad parody movie.
another brilliant John Carpenter joint, They Live.
There we go.
Which also probably made like $6 million if it was lucky, because that's what most of his movies do. And then 20 years later, people love him. Anyway, back to...
Basically, the kid in this movie can see the bad guys who have gotten caught in my throat for some reason. Excuse me. So... Damn them. Basically, it's bad guys that we never actually see, or I blinked and I missed it, where they wear other people's skin. So it's kind of creepy, and some of the skins don't entirely fit, and that's what he sees, but no one else really sees them.
That's creepy.
So yeah, it's creepy. There are a lot of Matrix-like effects, because, of course, this was a movie that was made after 1999.
Exactly.
I enjoyed Idris Elba in the movie. He made a very cool good guy. Matthew McConaughey played a really cool bad guy. And this occurred to me while I was watching this. I think the reason I liked this the most is because I'm completely unfamiliar with the source material.
That was my question. And I think that makes all the difference in the world. I'm a little familiar with, but familiar is just as far as in general. I've not read because, again, I wasn't
all 6,000 ready to, pages.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to devote myself. And I really like Stephen King for the most part. But for whatever reason, just this particular story didn't appeal to me. Not to the point that I'm going to read 7 books, and I think they're pushing another one. So, so I can see where if it's a standalone project, and we've talked about this a million times, if you are able to divorce it from the original property and just take it as it stands on itself, typically you're going to like it better.
I mean, this is why I hate the X-Men
movies. If it's any good. Yeah, exactly. Well, some of the X-Men movies are garbage, you know, even if they were original properties.
Even if, but, yes.
Yeah, but the tie-in to the original stories and the fact that they've ignored so much rich material. Yeah, exactly, which is absolutely asinine. But, yeah, it does make sense that all they had to do is... that's besides the point. We're talking about Dark Tower. So,
yeah,
take it on its own, I can definitely see where, okay, it doesn't really matter if, oh, this isn't the same as in the book. Because, like, if you didn't read the book, you don't know that. So, right. Boom. It only matters if it works within the context of the movie.
I think it would have actually been better for them financially if they had not said, this is a Stephen King story. Because if you just take it as, this is a sci-fi story, here's what's going to go on in it, instead of Stephen King, Stephen King, Stephen King, then people are going to go, oh, okay, and go see it and go, you know what, that was, closing credits, that was written by Stephen King, or based on a Stephen King thing, or whatever. It would have worked better, I think. You know, kind of like the way they marketed The Inhumans, which was really horrible, because it's not an IMAX movie, it's a TV pilot.
Yeah, that's what a garbage move. That was a disaster.
It was, unfortunately.
In many, many, many ways, which makes me sad. But, you know, in a way, that's
1,922 ways.
Segways. Very, very smart. Yeah, let's move on to another Stephen King property, which
one
is
this one this time.
Done for Netflix, called 1922, based on a Stephen King novella, which I did not read. So there you go. So we go back to the whole concept again of this as a standalone project. Even if I had have read it, I'm sure that I would still really enjoy this because it's extremely well done. Basically, it's set in, guess when? 1922.
No.
And it's a relatively poor farmer who actually married a woman who inherited a farm, and they have a very bad relationship. And he kind of wants the farm and kind of doesn't want her. And it goes on from there. And I'll just leave it at that. This is a horror film. It starts out as a character study, turns into a horror film. And it's still a character study all throughout. Thomas Jane, who played the Punisher in the second Punisher film. And I'm talking about Dolph Lundgren as the first Punisher film. So in the Punisher, the one that has John Travolta, Thomas Jane played the Punisher in that, and I thought he was excellent in that.
Whenever I hear Thomas Jane, I think of Patrick Jane, the character from The Mentalist.
Yes, you can. You can think of that.
I'm just making sure.
Different guy. Thomas Jane also, of course, is in the film version of The Mist, which is absolutely brilliant, as opposed to the crap that was foisted on us by Spike TV, which did not get renewed for another season. And all you got to do is watch 10 minutes of any episode and you'll know why. Anyway, Thomas Jane is awesome in this. I think it's his best work ever. And he has a lot of cult fans. He's not a huge star, never will be. But man, he's excellent in this. He's a little older when it starts, and it's told in flashback, so he's quite a bit older at the end of the story, and also at the beginning because it's the framing device. But man, he is excellent in this, just about a guy dealing with anger and resentment and guilt and trying to do the right thing as he sees the right thing all at the same time. So it sounds like it's some highfalutin philosophical piece, which, not really. It's a horror movie.
Regular falutin levels.
Yeah, regular falutin levels. And it definitely pays off on the level of the horror aspect, but man, Thomas Jane is excellent. Absolutely. Watch 1922. If you don't have Netflix, something is wrong with you. Have a party. Go break into a neighbor's house who has Netflix and watch it. I mean, you know, digitally hack their account. I'm not really saying, like, break in. You know, just do the thing the Russians would do. Anyway, 1922 on Netflix. Absolutely great. Great.
Have you seen the new term that Netflix is posting or trying to make big?
Maybe.
They got into, they're the ones who created the term binge watching.
Right.
Now they're trying to make a new one called binge racing.
Oh, God, no.
Which is, who can watch all of this show the first and then go tell your friends and spoil it for them? And I think that's a horrible idea.
That is a horrible idea. Because if you come up to me and spoil a show that I'm looking forward to, you might get punched in the throat.
Exactly.
Trademark from one of my nieces. Hey, Paula, thanks.
I love TV. I really do. But I cannot binge watch. I just can't. So I'm going to recommend to everybody the same thing my Wii recommends. Every so often it goes, go outside.
It does do that, doesn't it? I forgot about that.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it is.
The thing is, we only play it when it's raining, and I don't want to go outside in the rain. But that's beside the point. Every so often, just stop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this is my opinion, and it didn't stop my wife from binge-watching something that's on Netflix, starring Drew Barrymore and Tim Olyphant, called The Santa Clarita Diet.
Ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, you can.
I'm sad now.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Tell me more.
Short-forming this, and I may not entirely have this correct, because, wow. Drew Barrymore, near as I can tell, wakes up one morning, and for no particular reason, she's a zombie. Okay. Like you do.
What? Yeah, it happens.
So she decided to, while she wants a cure for her zombieism, she has to become a cannibal in order to remain alive. So every so often she like off a neighbor and stuff him in a freezer and eat him bits by bits or whatever. The way this is done, and I know it's not supposed to be a serious drama or an actual horror movie or something. It's a comedy. But to me, the way they do this, it's making Freddy's traps in Scooby-Doo look sane. All we need is the model train set, some Roman candle rockets, a big gong, a net, and a washing machine. Freddie, what are you smoking to come up with this just off the top of your head? And that's the way this show kind of looked, and this is just my opinion, but that hit me that, you know, it's Freddie's traps, only more screwed up. And that tied in with something else, because I looked up Timothy Olyphant.
Yes.
And my first thought, whenever I hear his name, is how was he not in the Lord of the Rings movies? Because they had what the big elephant things in the Lord of the Rings movies are called Olyphants.
They are Olyphants.
Why the hell was Timothy Olyphant not in this movie?
You know, which
this is a cameo driving one or something.
And for my money, another great underrated actor like Thomas Jane, I think Olyphant's excellent.
Exactly.
Typically.
You know, and I looked him up. And he was acting around the time The Lord of the Rings was filming.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Actually, I'm sorry, not the movie. The TV show that was based on the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. He was in the pilot episode as a character named Scooby.
Oh, my God.
And I went, ooh, full circle. We're back.
To wow.
You know, if you like really bizarre, silly... And I'm going to go with dumb. I have to go put the word dumb in with this. Comedies. Santa Clarita Diet might be for you. It's not for me. I didn't.
Let me check it out. I can see him playing the role of the suffering. It almost sounds like sounds like Bewitched, except instead of a witch,
kind of.
She's a zombie.
And that's not a parallel I had made before, but yeah, I see it now.
Because I can see him playing the Darren Stevens type character really well.
Only they'll change him and replace him with Timothy.
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton. There we go.
Yeah, much older Darren at that point, but Timothy Dalton's excellent. Anyway, well, that makes me still interested in seeing it. I like Drew Barrymore for the most part. I really like Oliphant. It sounds like an interesting.
It's got people in it that I like. I've lost his name. Castle. And
Frank Castle. Wow.
Dude from Firefly.
Oh, that guy.
Geez, we both lost his name, haven't we?
Yeah, that's okay.
I can tell you he was the voice of the dog in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I cannot come up with it. Damn it, I'm going to look it up. Why don't I look that up while you tell us about Gerald's Game?
Yeah, look that up while I tell you about Gerald's Game. Another Stephen King joint on Netflix. This is Gerald's Game, based on a novel which, gosh, is maybe 10, 12 years old at this point. Anyway, Gerald's Game is about a fun little game of bondage that a couple decides to play on a weekend retreat. Only problem is, and this is not exactly a spoiler because it happens really, really early, Gerald ties up his lovely wife for the game and has a heart attack.
Oops.
And he's dead. And she is handcuffed to a bed out in the middle of nowhere. And it goes on from there. And it is a horror film, and it does get on into, wow, actually, Gerald's Game is really old. It's 25 years old. Okay, came out a lot longer than I thought ago. Anyway, I didn't like it as much as 1922, but it is also good. Carla Gugino is the lead actress. She's excellent, and she's typically really good. She's very good in playing the emotion of, I'm trapped. But she's not alone because she is talking to people that maybe are there, maybe not there. Like, for one, her dead husband. He's not like a zombified actual dead husband. He is just, she's imagining him. But he says things she doesn't expect he would say. So it's kind of a question, is she really imagining him? Is this really his spirit? And that's up to you to figure out. And there's also a killer on the loose. Yay. So an actual killer. So that makes things much more fun and interesting. Again, didn't like it quite as much as 1922, but it is very entertaining. A nice horror flick. Perfect. It's really smart that Netflix decided to put these on Netflix, because as big screen entertainments, I think they would get lost in the shuffle like The Mist did. But for something on Netflix, I think it's perfect because it's a nice blink. They're both kind of small stories, but they're very entertaining. I mean, these days, small stories just don't play that well typically at the box office. So Netflix is a perfect venue, or any streaming service is a perfect venue for them. But I would recommend see Gerald's Game. Definitely see 1922. For that matter, when it shows up on whatever streaming service you use, sounds like you should watch The Dark Tower, too.
Yeah. It's not going to be long. And actually, no, you mentioned 1922, and Gerald's Game came out in 1992.
92, yeah. Which is
70 years later. Same universe, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. Because everything ties in with Stephen King eventually.
At some point, they all blend together. I'd like to apologize to Nathan Fillion for not being able to come up with his name.
Oh, yeah.
I know there's a lot of our listeners are going, how the hell can you forget his name? Because
We should go off the air for that. We're not broadcast, so we don't have to. Anyway.
Yeah, we've got time. Yeah. Other things, a bunch of trailers came out since we were here last.
Yes.
Some were good, and some were not as much. Full Metal Alchemist has a live-action version coming out, and if you don't know it, it's an anime series that a lot of people really like. I'll admit, it's not one I got into. My daughter knows it. and we watched the trailer together on whatever website it was that I had it on at the time. The trailer for it's in Japanese still, except the writing, which is in English, it actually looks like someone watched the original series and went, I can make that live. And it looks like they did. So, hey, what a concept following source material. So I'm kind of looking forward to that coming out. I don't know if it's going to be in theaters, but it'll hit Netflix at some point. And I'm going to recommend it already, just on this trailer, because the trailer looks really good.
Nice.
Another trailer that looked really good. Marvel came out with a full-fledged trailer for Black Panther. And Black Panther was not a character I ever particularly got into, because I never really got into the Avengers, which is where he was always associated. But you know what? I want to see this movie.
I am very hyped for this movie. Very, very hyped for this movie.
Although there are two things I have to bring up. One, and there are comments that were made on the movie, or on the trailer, that a lot of people were complaining about how, hey, that looks like the scene they just did in Deadpool. I'm like, well, kind of, but in different camera angles, it's similar. It's all action movie parts.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to come back.
Yeah, and I know which scene you're talking about, but I mean, that's also, I'm pretty sure, from the second Matrix movie, basically. Yeah. I mean, if those are tropes that they're going to keep on coming back to, like you said.
Because it still looks cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So get over it.
Exactly.
The other thing, and this is going to start out off color. No, that's not the way I want to phrase it. Actually, it is. I'll go ahead and use that. But bear with me. The punchline is good.
Own it.
There was a comment made about the movie poster that said, that is really weird that the only white people on this poster are Bilbo Baggins and Gollum. And the next comment after that was, don't worry, those are the Tolkien white guys. Ouch. Okay. That's, you know what? Never mind. Go see the movie, because it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely be good. I mean, and Chadwick Boseman is excellent. Michael B. Jordan I like Michael B. Jordan even more than I like Chadwick Boseman, and Boseman's awesome. I mean, it's got a great cast, has an Oscar winner, Lupita Nyong'o. Really looking forward to this movie. I mean, it just looks amazing. And somehow I didn't notice until now that Forest Whitaker is in it. What the hell? How did I miss that? Anyway, so...
Surprise.
Yeah, great, great cast. And I mean, it just looks amazing. It's a Marvel. Other than Inhumans, if it says Marvel, probably you're going to really, really love it.
Stop that. I am actually watching the Inhumans series and enjoying it.
No, you're not. You hate it. You hate it. Anyway.
Speaking of the next Godzilla movie.
This looks tremendous. speaking of monsters, yes.
Well, no, that's actually the next trailer I saw. They had one for Godzilla, Planet of the Monsters.
Yes.
Which is an anime version of Godzilla set in the future at some point. I don't know when, because it's all in Japanese and I don't have subtitles yet. It looks very well done.
It's great.
Godzilla versus a lot of mechs. So if you were ever wondering what it would be like for Godzilla to fight a bunch of Robotech looking stuff, here you go. And it looks cool and fun.
It looks very cool. Looks like it. Part of it looks, and this is kind of a bad word for some fans of things like this. It looks very atmospheric, which means, nothing happens. It's like, no, it looks like plenty happens. But I mean, it looks like that they take the time to build something, and they may only take 30 seconds, but at least they're taking that amount of time. It looks tremendous. Looks absolutely great.
As opposed to another animated trailer I saw for a Netflix series called Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters.
What? That didn't look awesome?
It wasn't even drawn well. No. No, just
Well, no, I'm glad you didn't put much effort into it, because why should you?
I don't know.
Why put in a lot of effort into promoting a 30-year-old toy, basically?
Well, expect to see it at Walmart by Christmas.
Yeah, of course, but geez.
No. Although, and we're doing a lot of TV show stuff on here. We'll get to movies in a minute.
We will.
Last trailer I saw was for a TV show on TNT that's upcoming called The Alienist. Which, to me, if you haven't seen this Netflix series, what? We're not sponsored by Netflix. We should be at this point.
We should be.
Hello. Called A Mindhunter.
Yes.
Which is a good series.
Very good series.
Alienist looks like Mindhunter set in the late 1800s.
Yeah, Alienist.
That's a bad thing.
Alienist is the beginning of the whole profiling thing.
Yep.
But basically, read the book, read the sequel. Amazing book. It's an absolutely amazing book. And really looking forward to the series. One of the reasons I'm looking forward to it is because one of the supporting characters is the police commissioner of New York City, Teddy Roosevelt. Yes, that would be the Teddy who became the president of the United States. And just a fascinating character. I mean, that's not the main draw, but I mean, that made it really...
added a bit.
Yeah, it did, because he's a fascinating character in the book, and I'm sure he will be in the series, but it's a very, very cool story. So I'm really looking forward to The Alienist. It's an excellent drama, thriller, murder mystery thing. At least
the
book was.
Did you see any other trailers? Because that's all I made notes for.
I did not see any other trailers. However, I do want to remind our listeners that they should become viewers today. Or if not tomorrow, but they really should do it. No, they should do it tomorrow. But today, at movie theaters, probably near you, hopefully near you, the Studio Ghibli series festival is continuing with, I think, their best film, Spirited Away. So look up your movie listings. Spirited Away is playing the dubbed version today, typically about 1 o'clock in most theaters. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock is the time to go see it, because that is the only viewing of the subtitled original Japanese language one. That's the one you should see. And then again, on Tuesday is the... Am I looking at the calendar right? Yes, I am. Amazing. Is the dubbed version again, also at 7 o'clock at night at most... Not playing at most theaters, but the theaters that are showing it, that's typically the schedule. So 1 o'clock today, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and that's the only subtitled version.
And I'm going to say this. Do not take acid before you go to see this movie.
Oh, my God, no. But do take your children. Just don't take your children on acid, because that would be wrong on many levels. Yes. But, yeah, this is one of the two best animated movies ever. Or maybe, to me, probably one of the 10 best movies, period. I mean, this movie is freaking amazing. It is so good. So by all means, if this is one of these things, if you're looking at the book, there's nothing to see at the movies. Yes, there is. There's definitely something. And if you don't have kids, as long as you have like one shred of your childhood left inside you, you should go to this movie anyway, because this movie is terrific. Spirited Away.
Yes.
Go see it. And tomorrow would be better, because it's the best version. But the dubbed version is good, too.
Exactly.
Three chances. Don't waste it.
Don't. Nope. And now, comes the segment of the show that more fast-paced, I would think. It's the Any Comments section of the show. And boy, do we have a lot of stuff that had just lots of little things.
Little.
For example, Spawn is being rebooted. This time being directed by Todd McFarlane, who said he was inspired by Jaws to make this movie. Not that there's a shark in Spawn, but the comment that I liked with this was, all that mattered was that it was big and in the same vicinity as humans, which is his description for why there's not going to be an origin story in this movie. It's just, here's your character, off you go.
Beautiful.
Do you like that idea? I like that idea.
I love that idea, which, didn't really need the... Spawn wasn't done justice in the...
original movie.
Justice, get it? There you go. There's your...
Well, that's where we're going next, but yes.
But it wasn't. So I'm really happy to see a Spawn reboot coming up. That's the kind of movie that you redo, is the ones that didn't quite get it right.
Exactly. Let's see, moving on to Justice League, of which there's a lot of little things. Justice League's runtime came out as 2 hours and 1 minute. Now, what really irks me about this is not that it's the shortest DC movie that they've come out with in a long time. No. What irks me is that that includes the credits.
That should, these days,
I don't think runtime should ever include credits.
No, it shouldn't. Especially now, because credits can be 10, 12 minutes long easily.
Oh, there was some movie I watched. It might have been Dark Tower, where it was like 15 minutes of credits. I was like, I love the idea that they're showing everybody who worked in the movie and that everyone gets credit for it. And I think that's great, but damn.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. See other Justice League news. Gary Clark Jr.'s video for Come Together, which is the music in the background of all the trailers. Watch it if you want. See, now it's we watch music videos so you don't have to.
Woo!
Yes, there are clips of the movie in it. No, you haven't. It's nothing you haven't seen. So. What was the other bit I had for Justice League? Because there's other DC stuff. Oh, other Justice League bits.
Yep. Three.
Aquaman, according to Jason Momoa, is not actually Aquaman when you first see him in Dawn of Justice. He's actually just Arthur Curry, who has the power still, but he's not the King of Atlantis, which hopefully explains why he acts like such a goof in the trailer. Yeah! Oh, man dressed like a bat. Dig it. No, don't do that.
Well, they had to try to do something, and I don't like what they've done, but they had to try to do something to make Aquaman something other than a just complete god-awful stiff, which is what most people think of Aquaman as.
They think he is. He's not.
No, I know he's not, but that's the perception. That's the perception.
Damn you, perception.
Yeah, perception. Which should have been the prequel to Inception. Anyway.
It was a good TV series.
True.
Anyway, something I didn't quite catch in the trailer, and this came out in an article this week, and in a exclusive first look by AT&T at the character of Cyborg. When they had Cyborg in the trailer and someone threw a car at a police officer and Cyborg shouldered the car out of the way and said, "You should probably move to the cop." Did you catch who that cop was?
I did not.
I didn't either. It is apparently Mark McClure, who played Jimmy Olsen in the original Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Nice.
That's a cute cameo.
That is a cute cameo. Gee, too bad they didn't hit him with a car and kill him off immediately like they did in... Never mind.
Well.
Another of the egregious sins of Zack Snyder. Oh, let's pay homage to the character by changing him completely and killing him immediately. Yeah. Not like he's a beloved character for how many decades? Yeah.
9, I think it is.
Probably, yeah. Jimmy's been around for quite a while, so yeah, let's make him something else and kill him. Because
did you know he had his own comic for a while? And they introduced Darkseid in Jimmy Olsen's comic book.
No, I did not realize that Darkseid was introduced in
his first appearance, like Jimmy Olsen, Jimmy Olsen or something. And I'm like, wow, really? You put him there? Because Jimmy Olsen's going to take out Darkseid, right?
yeah, probably not.
Speaking of being taken out, the Batman movie starring Ben Affleck, which is on again, off again, on again, off again, bite me at this point. They had cast Joe Manganiello.
Yes.
You've got too many syllables, dude. As Deathstroke, who's a great character.
Indeed he is.
And since the movie is on again and off again, they've decided to get director Gareth Evans to make a Deathstroke movie instead.
Because that makes perfect sense. I mean, it might be good.
You got him. And Deathstroke's got enough of a character to make a movie.
But, maybe you should really focus on bigger characters than Deathstroke. Like, I don't know.
He got to be kind of big after being the big bad of season 2 of Arrow.
It's just, to me, it's just another sign that they have no clue what the hell they're doing. was like, well, it's taken us a long time to get this going, and he's the main villain in this. In this, what is this? The ninth Batman flick? No, probably 11th at this point. So let's just give
23.
So let's just give him as a standalone movie because we don't know what the hell we're doing here. It's just, I don't really see Marvel doing something like that.
No.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, we've been stumbling around. We just can't get this latest Hulk movie off the ground. So let's do a leader movie. No, I don't see them doing that. And this is the equivalent. And this is, it might be a good movie. Might be the best movie they've come up with because the bar is not that great lately. Wonder Woman aside.
Wonder Woman was great. Everything else was questionable.
Yeah, exactly. Wonder Woman is fantastic. But yeah, it'd be like, as if they had taken their time and not gotten Wonder Woman off the ground. Let's do an Ares movie. No, let's not really go there. Don't understand what DC is doing. I mean, Warner Brothers, DC, ever.
No.
Anyway.
Next DC movie news.
Indeed.
Sorry, TV news, actually. The Teen Titans series has finally cast Beast Boy. And he's going to be played by Ryan Potter, who is apparently no relation to Harry.
I was going to say Harry's brother.
I had to look this up because I don't know who he is. Now, apparently, there was a movie called Fred the Show, which Ryan Potter was on.
Hmm.
His character was called Fred's Best Friend because you can't be bothered to name the bastard. That's what it's listed as in the credits. Now, I'm not going to go out and find Fred the Show. Because I'm older than 12. It's a Nickelodeon product, apparently.
Well, that but explains a lot right there.
That seems to be his claim to fame. I don't know anything about Ryan Potter. Except that he kind of vaguely resembles Beast Boy, except that he's not green. And I'd be worried if he was. So let's move on to the next DC-related product. And hopefully this is the last one we're going to bring up this show. Not that we don't like DC. I like DC, but damn, people. The Shazam movie is actually going to be coming out in April 2019, starring Zach. Is it Levi or Levy?
I don't know offhand. I'm going to say Levy. Yeah, Ryan Potter is a guest character. He's not even one of the main characters on that show. That's really odd on Fred the Show. Anyway, back to the important stuff, which is Shazam. I like the casting. I mean, I kind of pound WBDC because they make a lot of crappy decisions. I really like this casting. I think this is excellent because I think he can capture that character of the naivety and just the innocence of Billy Batson. And I'm assuming that's what they're doing here. And when he turns into Shazam, because they can't call him Captain Marvel because of various 1,000-year-old lawsuits, he still retains that character. So however they're playing it, I really like the casting on this. Because
I actually liked you see, I'm not going to say this very often, if ever again. Zach Levy could be good. I don't know. But I liked the rumor of John Cena doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think that could work. I think it could work just as well. And who's the bad guy that we've known about for...
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've known about 15 years now that The Rock is going to be the main bad guy.
Yeah, that would
but
play
not in the first Shazam movie. It'll be the second. Huh? So...
Right. That would play off brilliantly. And who knows how good an act... Because I haven't seen anything that John Cena has been in. He's been in several movies. I know The Marine, I think, was his first one. But this kind of a character, I don't really know how good an actor you have to be. I mean, he's good enough an actor to play a character in the ring, and that's acting. I mean, look where The Rock came from. The Rock is like, isn't he the most financially successful actor the past few years? And that was his training ground, was the ring. He's an excellent actor, you know, for his kind of role. He really is. And Cena, I think for that kind of a role, I think Cena could pull that off easily. So
we got Zach Levy, so we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. But I do like the casting. I think that's a good shot there.
Ooh, look, gear change. Let's do Marvel a little bit, because there was a good Marvel thing that came out this week.
A very good Marvel thing.
Referring to Daredevil Season 3. and the return of Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Behind Loki as the best Marvel villain so far in any of the movies or TV shows.
And I would put him third. I would put him behind the Purple Man. I really, really, really liked him.
You know
him.
What? You're right.
I really
My
liked
apologies.
Him. No.
David Tennant was awesome, too.
Oh, he was awesome. But yeah, it's D'Onofrio is like... And it kind of depends on which you saw most recently, because he is amazing. He's a great actor, but man, he nailed the Kingpin. I mean, my gosh.
Yes.
So yeah, this is fantastic news. Also, they're apparently playing with the idea. One of the Daredevil showrunners was playing with the idea of, hey, it's Netflix. Hey, we do little mini series anyway. You know, it'd be really cool. Would be a series focused on Kingpin. That would be beautiful. That would be a beautiful thing.
I will agree. Circle gets the square.
That's just rumors, though. But he is coming back in GD3, which is good.
Here's something that apparently is not a rumor, although I really wish it were.
Come on, you are so looking forward to this. You know. You bought your tickets already, right? You went to Fandango? You got the tickets?
Michael Bay.
This is so awful.
Oh, dear. Michael Bay is supposed to be producing a live-action... having trouble saying this, Dora the Explorer film, where Dora has grown up a bit. She's going to move to the city to live with her cousin Diego. And you know what? Because I have kids who grew up with Dora, I'm probably going to have to see this movie at some point. But I'm just worried about, you know, because there's a musical aspect to Dora. But I'm worried about things like, I'm the map, it's a lens flare, I'm the map. You know, I just see that happening, and I don't want it to.
Well, here's the deal. Michelle Rodriguez will play Dora. Maybe it was, well, I mean, it's Michael Bay. Come on, you know, we got to have someone who's got their action chops. And she has established those action chops in the 10,000 versions.
She's supposed to be a teenager, isn't Michelle Rodriguez from
Fast and Furious? Oh, no. We're updating this. Gotta have explosions. She's gotta have explosions, man. Yeah, this is among the strangest movie news in, like, the history of movies.
The Big Red Chicken.
I mean, what the hell has gone on?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Boots. What the fuck? No.
Yeah. Don't. I don't get it.
Jason Statham as Benny the Bull. I hope this isn't happening. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
Doctor Who. You got some Doctor Who news?
Lovely.
The new Doctor is coming soon, and
she
instead
is.
Of... The season is going to be shorter, but it's going to have the same amount of time, which is weird. They're going to have, instead of
she is a time
13
lord after all.
40-something minute episodes, they're going to have 10 hour-long episodes.
She's a time lord. She can do what she wants.
Well, there that too. Jodie Whittaker is going to also have 3 companions in the TARDIS with her. Being played by Bradley Walsh, Tossin Cole, and Mandip Gill.
Not sure what the deal is with the 3 companions.
I don't know either. But you know what? If that's what they want to do,
oh, yeah.
Go right ahead.
It's just,
as long as we get more Doctor Who, that's all I'm looking for at this point.
Right. It almost makes me worry that they feel that... Can a female lead carry the show? What will happen to...
Yes.
You know?
Rose Tyler carried the show for a while, although I actually think Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant were considerably better in the series. They've had females at least co-leading the show for years anyway.
Yeah.
Back to Sarah Jane, which is as far as my recall of the show goes.
Yeah.
And before you say, you don't remember all of them, there's 7 billion episodes of this. Give me a break.
I just hope that that's not what the thought process was behind giving her 3 companions. That just seems a little weird. But, yeah, like you said, it's Who, so all is good.
As opposed to... Arnold Schwarzenegger had released a statement this week and that's as far as I'm going with his accents, talking about how the Clinton administration back in the 90s is the reason the Last Action Hero failed.
No, Danny, you can do it. I believe in you, Danny. You believed in me. I believe in you.
Yeah. I don't.
Well done.
Where did this come from?
Well, he said that the administration came in and said the 80s action guys are gone because now it's all about feelings and emotions and whatever, and that's why his movie tanked.
Which is, and that's what that movie is all about, is feelings and emotions.
I just work here.
That's why, I mean, this is what killed, why did this come up now, which is really strange, and the concept that the administration made the movie tank is totally ridiculous. The movie tank, I really like the movie. I think it's a really cool movie, but it tanked because it turned the action hero thing on its head, and people didn't get it. It is all about emotions. It's completely about emotions. It's not about action. It has tons of action, but that's not what the movie's about. And that's what threw people off, and that's why it wasn't a huge hit. What a bizarre thing to come up with. It's like, well, because there was some offhand comment that directly killed my movie. It's like, dude, no.
Rotten Tomatoes ruined it because all the reviews are negative. Well,
yeah.
Maybe the movie didn't suck. I don't know. Yeah, I just...
Very, very weird timing and weird idea, and just makes no sense whatsoever.
Let's make up for it with some good news.
Yes.
The Punisher has a premiere date, finally, of November 17th.
Woo! I like it.
Ta-da!
I get an early birthday present. I get an early birthday present. That's yay. Cool. I like it.
Star Wars news, because this came out. They decided that to name the Han Solo standalone movie Solo, a Star Wars story. Now, my favorite comment that came out about this was, they're calling it Solo, a Star Wars movie, just in case you thought it was actually about those big red drinking cups.
Yeah.
And it actually raises a question in my mind, because Harrison Ford has been remaking all of his old movies. Are they going to remake The Fugitive?
Sure.
Revive The Fugitive. He's now looking for a guy who lost the other arm.
Why not? Why not?
I know. Here was some other news that I liked, I think. Or at least I know you're going to like. How's that? They announced that, you know, they had the Godzilla movie.
Yes,
we
they
just
did.
Had the Kong movie.
Yes, they did.
We're going to have another Godzilla movie before we get to Godzilla versus Kong in 2020,
yes,
I think it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They announced that they're eventually going to cross it over with Pacific Rim.
Yes, they are.
Do you like that? Because I know this is your genre, man.
Oh, yeah, I love that, because I really, really like Pacific Rim. The trailers for the Pacific Rim Uprising looks terrific. John Boyega.
Music.
John Boyega, yeah, well... John Boyega really, that's not going to be in the movie. John Boyega really delivers as the son of the great Idris Elba. You know, at least in the trailer.
Yeah.
I like the concept of Pacific Rim a lot. I like the crossover. I really, really like this crossover concept because, like I said, in the anime version that's coming up of Godzilla, he's fighting mechs. I mean, that's a tradition. Godzilla fighting mechs for a long, long time. Can't remember when Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla came out, but it's 30, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, at least. Wow. Maybe even close to 50, now you think about it. Anyway, yeah, it's perfect. And it's going to be cheesy, and parts of it will be awful, but it's a Godzilla movie, man. Other than the very first Godzilla movie, ever since then, there have been cheesy elements. So,
yeah.
And even in that one, when he's chewing the trolley, it's kind of crazy. So, I mean, they've ceased being actual social commentary. Well, actually, Shin Godzilla, the latest Japanese one, has a lot of social commentary, but still. They're entertainments. And to me, what could be more entertaining than a giant gorilla and a giant radioactive dinosaur fighting a bunch of guys and girls in giant mech suits? I mean... perfect storm of entertainment. That's fantastic. It'll probably suck, you know, because we can't have anything right or good anymore. Last Action Hero, by the way, Rotten Tomatoes score from the audience now was 46% from the audience, not from the critics. Uh-huh. So probably because Rotten Tomatoes wasn't around when this came out in 1993. So they're just compiling critical responses that came out back then. So you can't blame it on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Less than half the people who went to see it liked it. That has everything to do with the fact that it didn't do that well at the box office. And again, I think they're wrong. I think it's great. I really like the movie. But, dude, it wasn't the Clinton administration. The audiences just didn't like it, period.
Should I bring up your the bad news for your Pacific Rim Godzilla Kong crossover?
Yeah, please do.
They're not making a Power Ranger sequel.
Well, that's actually good news.
Now, this is weird, though. They didn't actually announce that they're not doing it, but they did not renew the trademark on the film's logo.
Really?
It's not just the film's logo. It's the show and the video games and the toys.
Now, that's really shocking and weird. I can totally get not, you know, canning a sequel because that thing came and went, and I was not going to go see it, but I thought it was odd that it was released and disappeared before I even knew it was out.
Yeah.
But to just drop the entire, I mean, they're dropping the brand basically. If you don't read, yeah, that's incredibly short-sighted and strange. Did Warner Brothers take them over? Anyway,
that could be. There was an article that came out talking with Simon Wheatley or Whiteley. Sorry. Wheatfield? No, anyway.
Mm, good.
He's the guy who created the Matrix code. You know, the stuff that you see dropping from the screen in green throughout the Matrix movies and 5 billion things since then.
Yes.
Do you know what that actually is?
I do not.
That's dropping from the screen? Because I didn't know this. He said he got it from reading his wife's sushi recipes from cookbooks. And that's what's dropping from the screen is from the top of the screen. It's sushi recipes. I would not have guessed that.
I would never have guessed that. That's interesting.
It's not something I gave much thought to either, but there we go.
And strange. But I like it.
Knew.
Sushi.
I want to get your opinion on this, because this one came out this week, because we've talked about the Criterion Collection before.
Yes.
One of the movies they're coming out with on January 2nd is a 4K digital restoration of The Breakfast Club. Which is a spectacular movie. I don't know anyone who doesn't like The Breakfast Club.
Nope, don't either.
The thing that's confusing me about this is that there's supposed to be a director's cut of the film that's 2.5 hours long.
Cool. Well, and?
That puts it into Lord of the Rings territory, you know, the Fellowship of the Library or something.
Lovely, lovely. Well done, sir.
The two towers being the principal and the janitor guy.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Return of the King being when John Bender falls through the roof and, hey, look, he's back in the library.
It is, the Return of the King.
They said that there's an extra 50 minutes of never-before-seen deleted and extended scenes that are being put back in. Do you think that's a good idea, or... And I've not gotten any Criterion Collection DVDs. Does this mean that there's going to be two versions of it on a disc?
Typically, what they do, there's going to be the original theatrical release, and then there's going to be this other cut. If all they do is release this other cut, that's probably not the best idea, because there's usually a reason that things are taken out of films.
Yeah,
and it's not just strictly to keep the running time down. Usually it's because once they see the overall piece, they realize, you know, that doesn't fit. That changes the tone. That throws that character on a different arc that we don't pay off later. They're taken out for reasons. It's not just because, oh, God, you know, I don't want to have a 6-hour running time. It's because it didn't work for one reason or another. And, yeah, granted, they have storyboards, they have scripts, and you shoot, but... The finished product.
Actually see it.
Exactly. The finished product doesn't look like the script. Hardly ever would, because performances matter and direction matters and all the rest of it. I'm sure the script for the prequels of Star Wars looked gangbusters, and look what happened. Anyway, I'd love to take shots at Lucas anytime I can. Anyway, yeah, I can see, I can definitely see putting this director's cut out. It would be weird if they incorporate all of it into that, because deleted scenes, sometimes they just don't work at all. So it'd be odd to put all of that in. But I would imagine, God, I would hope that they're coming out with the original version. And then, oh, and also, here's the extended version. And now you figure out why Anthony Michael Hall was reading that book. You know, it'll be stuff like right. that. Hopefully there's no at-home scenes.
No, that would not work.
Yeah, exactly, because one of the things that really makes it work is it's this set piece, and they're in high school prison, also known as detention. And, you know, you don't really want the background. You know, we don't need the origin story of all this other stuff. You get that within the context of the movie. So,
look, there's just a shark, and it's going after people. That's all we need to know.
Exactly. You know, I'll get it, because The Breakfast Club, like you said, is a great movie. And I'd be interested to see what those other things are, but I'd get it just because I would get it. I don't even have it on Blu-ray, so perfect time to upgrade from
there you go.
From my 8-track version, kind of.
Speaking of upgrades, actually, this is a reboot story. CBS, in its infinite wisdom, they've decided to reboot Magnum P.I.
Is this going to be on CBS All Access only? Because if they're smart, it would be.
To my knowledge, it's going to be on CBS itself.
Yeah, see, that's a mistake. Because if you want people to pay $6 a month, give them another reason other than Star Trek. Anyway.
Although Star Trek is a good enough reason, but...
Oh, yes, very good. But yeah, Magnum P.I. reboot.
I don't think we need it.
I never really cared for the show for the first time, so I really don't need it. I'm just curious.
Was there anyone who... I want answers on this. Let us know. CinemaSavants at coil.us. Did anyone watch Magnum P.I. for any reason other than the Ferrari?
Well, I'm sure there will be some females who would reply with a different answer.
There's the Ferrari and the girls.
I'm just curious. It'd be interesting to see who they cast, because those are big shoes to fill.
They are.
And it's also a big mustache to fill, so I wonder if they're going to do that. I just hope
this time Tom Selleck plays the butler guy.
That would be really funny. Hopefully he still has the Tigers hat, because that's the only reason I watched it a few times.
Oh, well.
So if he's not a Tigers fan, I'm out. I'm totally out.
I'll go get my Miguel Cabrera jersey.
Woo, Mickey!
They're also remaking... not CBS, but other channels are remaking Roswell, which I vaguely remember as a series in the first place, and I don't know that we need it. that seems to be rebooted.
That seems really strange to remake that. Why? I mean, that's fairly recent, and it wasn't. I mean, regardless of how we think of Magnum PI, Magnum PI is an iconic series in television history. It makes perfect sense to reboot that. I don't particularly care to watch it, but millions of people, I guarantee you, if they do it right, will be watching it. Roswell? Not so much. That makes no sense.
Well, you mentioned iconic things. ABC is remaking The Jetsons.
Live action?
A live action series.
I had a feeling they're going to go live action. Yeah, I'm okay with that, as long as it's not
weird.
Remotely close to the atrocity that was the Flintstones movie. Which
that would be nice.
That was awful. And I'm talking about the first Flintstones movie that was supposed to be good, not the sequel, which everyone knew was going to suck. That thing.
Although, if you want to put Jane Wedlin in it, I'm not objecting.
I just... Yeah, I'm okay with
either of
doing the Jetsons.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, true.
They're also remaking The Munsters.
What's good as Fred. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to remake The Jetsons, remake The Munsters, that's fine.
Go right ahead, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, where's
Petticoat Junction while we're at it? I mean, you know, we make everything from the 60s. It's just very strange.
What's a petticoat? Anyway.
yeah. It's a thing that.
Use the crap out of everybody. What the hell is a petticoat?
It's a thing that Trump pulls off you without your permission. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Instead of rebooting Lethal Weapon, there might be a fifth Lethal Weapon with guys who are too old for this. What was the last movie? 15 years ago?
At least. You know, that I like.
I might like to see that. I think it would work.
Because cops, typically, unless they die, and hopefully they don't, but cops typically, yeah, they do become older because they're people. And I can totally, and I mean, I'd love to see Danny Glover. I mean, he was old and wanting to retire when the damn series started. So what the hell?
The first shot we get of him.
Yeah. What is Roger going to be complaining about now? I mean, you know, it's like, I can't imagine. I like that. I like that thought. I like it a lot because they had great chemistry. They're both great characters. I want to see that. I want them to explain how Martin Riggs has still managed not to kill himself because he was constantly doing these crazy semi-suicidal things other than, you know, completely forgetting the outright suicidal things. So I'm curious to see, you know, did he get better? Because hopefully not. You know, I want to see him go mow Larry Cheese one more time on the bad guys. So I'm totally fine with this because Lethal Weapon, those are really entertaining movies, and that's a great pairing. And I'm really interested to see what are these characters like? God, 30 years later from the first one. I mean, it's a good time to do it,
isn't it?
30 years ago. And of course, it won't be out this year, but.
No. It'll be in 2037.
Yeah, they needed to make it a little sooner than that. But
if you put a decimal point in the middle of that, is how much Geostorm has made at the theater this week? $20.37.
Brilliant.
Leading back to the answer to our trivia question, what are the four other $100 million flops we've got this year? Because we got Geostorm that look, it's on track to be the fifth. The other ones are King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which was a good movie if you don't put the words King Arthur in it. Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, which I actually still want to see. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I'm curious. Because it does look a lot like the Fifth Element.
Oliphant.
Oliphant? What?
The Fifth Element.
The one I have no interest in seeing is Monster Trucks. I think if they had made that back in the 80s, when Monster Trucks were, what's the word I'm looking for? Popular.
Relevant.
It would have worked. It doesn't now.
A known property. No one knows what Monster Trucks are now.
And the fourth $100 million flop is a movie, when we started doing this show, I said, I've seen the trailer, I love the property, but they've screwed it up. I could tell from the trailer. I have fried this movie with every inconceivable condiment I can find, and it still doesn't taste good. It's the Ghost in the Shell movie. You knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Because I still think he, you know, they handed him the reins to it and went, and he realized, I picked the wrong property to make a movie out of. Oops. And it just doesn't work.
It does not work.
I'm not knocking anybody who was in the movie. I like the people in the movie. It's just the people who actually made the movie that it's their fault.
It is their fault.
Anywho, that's all I've got. What have you got left?
Nothing really. Just the Lethal Weapon thing that fascinates me. It's actually, if they get going, if they go now and get it done, they could actually come out next year, like Christmas time, which would be cool. And
it's a Christmas movie.
And that would be the 20th anniversary of Lethal Weapon 4. And the interesting thing, I was just looking, and here's a news story that Richard Donner, the director of the original Lethal Weapon, has interest in this. He's 87. He hasn't worked since 2006, but he is interested in this property. I don't know if he's up to directing, but as at least an executive producer, because I think that's really important that he's involved too, because he's the director. He's a big part of what made Lethal Weapon the great franchise it is. So that another reason to look forward to this. I think that would be awesome.
Well, they're talking about Channing Gibson, who wrote the fourth one, to write this one too.
Which would be
so
pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
So if this is a reboot, a remake, a sequel that we're all on board for. I mean, And who knows how it would turn out. But I mean, this could be the best one. It really could be the best one.
So you know what? I think we should go. Let's go help them.
We should
right
go
now.
Help them.
That's what we're going to end the show. We're going to go help them. So we'll see you next week, everybody.
Bye bye.
I think they would let me live in Montana.
I was thinking of the immortal words of Socrates, who said, I drank what?
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
Darn, that's the end.